Okay, so happy new year and welcome back to the podcast. Today I would like to share with you my rose hip experiment. So I ended up doing an herb of the month, a whole month of taking rose hips every day in different forms. And I would like to share my results with you today in this episode. Yeah, rose hips, I think, are very versatile and a really underrated herb actually. So let's talk about rose hips. Let's dig into the weeds. So a few months ago, when days got darker and colder, and it was a really intense cold and flu season, or it still is, that many people have been getting sick and it has been really going around, those viral respiratory infections, I kind of rethought my immune boosting, immune prevention protocol. I mean, there are many herbs that I regularly take anyway. You know, I have been taking medicinal mushrooms, a bit of reishi almost every day anyway. And of course, supplements like vitamin D are very useful to boost immunity, and all of the adaptogenic herbs and tonics in general are, of course, immune boosting and other dietary and lifestyle changes, yeah, getting enough sleep and all of that. So there is a lot of things we can do to help our immunity fight these respiratory infections and just get a bit less sick less often. I mean, you can't maybe 100% avoid it all the time. It might still happen, but you know, it's a difference if you are sick for 3 days or for 2 weeks. Yeah, definitely you can also shorten the duration if you are properly prepared herbally for these respiratory issues that are very common in winter. So I rethought my plan. I was like, okay, so what do I add this year? I have astragalus powder, and I took it more kind of, not on a very regular basis this year. So this year I went more for a new combination, or not super new, actually pretty common herbs that you might have in your kitchen anyway. Garlic, ginger, and the rose hips. Okay, the rose hips maybe you don't have in your kitchen anyway, but definitely garlic and ginger is a good way to start with what you have on hand. And so I was just really putting a focus on these three herbs and taking them really every day through the whole basically autumn and winter. So I think I started maybe in October. I mean, it gets, it is pretty warm here still. It was warm the whole September and October still. So I think I started end of October. And so the garlic this year, I decided to not bother with the taste and smell. I mean, I love garlic in food. I put it basically, in every day, and I use it in cooking and in my lunch and dinner when I cook. I mean, I definitely don't like the raw garlic that much. I mean, I eat occasionally raw garlic in small amounts, but it can be very irritating to the stomach. So I think, many people have to be rather careful with it, to not take huge amounts of raw garlic. It can make you nauseated. It can make you throw up even. It can also irritate the gut lining and really cause you pain that could even last for a few days or so. If you are sensitive, if you have had gastritis or other issues, have a sensitive stomach, then I would not recommend taking bigger amounts of raw garlic. I mean, definitely if you take raw garlic, take it in some olive oil or in some food mixed in, so it's not the raw pure garlic hitting your stomach. This would more likely cause irritation. Yeah. So some people can handle raw garlic. I can handle a little amounts. I mean, I'm fine with it, but you know, the smell and all of that, it gets a bit much on a daily basis. So I was sure, I wouldn't really be able to take huge amounts of fresh garlic every day. So I decided to go with capsules. I just bought a black garlic extract, highly concentrated in capsule form. And then I took like 2 times 3 capsules, so 6 capsules every day of this extract. And it's the first time I tried this, and I must say, I'm very pleased with it. I mean, I don't think the brand, you know, I can't really recommend a specific brand. There are probably several that are, you know, good and they contain what it says on the label. It should, you know, I bought it from Germany where the regulations are pretty strict and where you can be sure you get what it says on the bottle at least. And I also opened the capsule and tried a little bit and I could taste the garlic, but it's without the smell. Yeah, so if you take garlic in this extract form, then you don't have to deal with any smell. Yeah, it's not that it is kind of smelling out of all your pores and out of your breath and everywhere. So it is neutral. That is great. But still, I felt this kind of warming effect in the stomach and I kind of felt it acting. And I was very pleased with this super easy way of taking garlic. Of course, I also still added it, plenty of it, to my food in cooked form and everything. So with garlic, there is this discussion if, you know, heat destroys the allicin, and the allicin is a compound in the garlic that is helpful, is definitely an active constituent of garlic. And of course, we want that. We don't want to destroy it with heat. But there is a little trick. You can chop the garlic and then just let it sit a bit. Or I would recommend to cover it with oil and then let it sit so the oils and the flavor don't evaporate, which they do. So you cover it in a bit of oil and let it sit, and then you add it a bit later on to your cooking. And you know what the heat destroys is actually the enzymes that transform a substance into the allicin, into this active compound. Yeah, so it's more about the enzyme. Yeah, the heat doesn't destroy the allicin, but it prevents the allicin from forming because you destroyed this enzyme that would help produce the allicin in the garlic. Yeah, so if you chop the garlic and just wait for 10-15 minutes, cover it in some olive oil and then add it to your food or fry it up or whatever, then you have the allicin and you can enjoy the cooked garlic rather than the raw one, which might cause this gut irritation. Yeah, so this is a tip if you still want to use just the whole natural garlic in your cooking. This would still be an option. But I opted this year for the extract and it was great because, you know, it's just an easy thing. I mean, I think it's really great that we have herbs in capsules available. I also encapsulate myself a lot of herbs. I have a little encapsulation machine, or yeah, it's a little device. It's very simple. You can make 100 capsules at a time and just fill them really tightly. And so I make my own capsules because, you know, you get herbs way cheaper, of course, if you buy them in bulk and you buy a pound of the powder of something, whatever it is, the trifala or a reishi mushroom powder or whatever it is, if there are herbs that are a bit bitter or just not so pleasant taste-wise and you want to encapsulate them, yeah, I can really recommend it. I'm really happy I have my herbal capsules, the ones I make myself and the ones I buy, because yeah, it's just a super easy way to really stay on your herbal protocol and really take your herbs on a daily basis. Yeah, if the preparation is complicated, if the herb doesn't taste good, you know, you are less likely to stick to it. And of course, then you don't get the benefits. So I opted for the garlic extract, the ginger powder. So the ginger I took in powder form. I mean, you can, of course, you know, cut a few slices. And I also did that. I added always a little ginger, some slices of ginger to my daily decoction. Like in wintertime, I make this tea with a chai base. Yeah, I call it my chai base. So I grind up some cinnamon and a bit of clove, cardamom, black pepper, or the long pepper, the pipali from Ayurveda, long pepper it's called, and some maybe some licorice root, and then I boil my whatever root I'm currently drinking, maybe some dandelion root or roasted chicory root or burdock root I have at the moment. So I make a little root decoction of whatever root I'm taking at the moment together with my chai base, and then add some other aromatics in the end like mint or tulsi or orange peel or whatever. And I could add, and I did add, a few slices of ginger, but also with ginger, you know, you have to get in a certain dose, yeah? And if you take fresh ginger boiled as tea, it's very spicy, it's pungent, it's intense. So you can take like a huge amount of it taste-wise. And if you take the powder, you get like really 10-20 times more on just a teaspoon of the powder than you would get in, you know, in just decocting a few fresh ginger slices, or even dried, if you have dried ginger pieces, would be the same. Yeah, so I think the potency is better. You can get a bigger dose in more easily if you use the ginger powder. So this was my reasoning. Of course, there are many ways to take ginger and they're all great. And if you love the taste of ginger, it's a great way, of course, to have your ginger in tea form. But I had my powder. I had it anyway. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to take 1 or 2 teaspoons of the ginger powder every day. Yeah. So I basically, what I did is I didn't stir the ginger powder into water because this sometimes makes it even a bit more difficult to get it down. I mean, it is still very hot and spicy. Yeah. So if you get it on your tongue, of course, you can feel the pungency and the heat of ginger. So what I found more pleasant is I just took a teaspoon of the ginger powder. I kind of flipped it onto my tongue a bit in the back, not too far into the back of the mouth, but kind of, yeah, in the middle or back of my tongue. I kind of just flipped the teaspoon fully into my mouth and then I drank water and flushed it down. So this I found the easiest, more comfortable way to really get a good amount of ginger in every day. So I took a teaspoon in the morning and a teaspoon in the evening. Yeah? Same with the garlic capsules. I took like 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning and 3 to 5 in the evening. Yeah, usually 3, yeah, a total of 6 capsules. But of course, depends on the strength of the extract. And then the rose hips. So now let's come to the rose hips. Okay, now let's stay a little bit with the ginger. I mean, ginger is just such a versatile herb. I think I said it on this podcast before. In Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine, there's a saying, if you can't cure it with ginger, don't even bother. So that means, you know, ginger is just an all-rounder, you know, I mean, you can take it for cough, you can take it for immunity, you can take it, even for joint pain, it's really versatile, yeah, it is mildly warming, it is an analgesic, you can prevent migraines with it. I mean, it's just an amazing, it's a good digestive herb. I mean, I could go on and on and on. It's, of course, stimulates circulation. It could be good if, you know, if you tend to have cold feet or whatever it is. It is really amazing, a great versatile herb. And so ginger, yeah, it is really good for the immune system. It's immune boosting, and especially the combination, like in Ayurveda, there is definitely this combination. It's a classic, yeah, to take garlic powder or onion powder or both and ginger powder. And to just take a teaspoon or two of these every day for immune prevention. It is, it's not that I invented this. It's a classic, especially in Ayurveda. And you can take the ginger even once you get sick or you have this lingering cough after you have been sick. So you can also treat your cold with ginger powder. Yeah, it's good for the throat. It helps, you know, if you have mucus or, you know, stuck mucus in the lungs or congestion, nasal congestion. It can just clean everything out and warm everything up and help you in that way. So yeah, ginger powder, good thing to have at home, definitely. Also good way to, you know, if you think you get a migraine, to take it early on the onset of a migraine, but really like more like 1 to 2 full heaping tablespoons of the ginger powder in that way that I described. Yeah, you can just or stir it into water and just get it down quickly without thinking much about it. Just get it down. Or, you know, like how I did it, just flip like a small amount, like a teaspoon onto your tongue and then wash it down. So yeah, ginger, amazing herb. So now let's get to the rose hips. I kind of saved them for the end. Rose hips, really amazing. I mean, you can maybe still harvest them now on the bushes outside, on the rose bushes. And if you live in the northern hemisphere, of course, you have had plenty of frost already, probably, if you live in more northern countries. So here where I live in southern Europe, we don't have frost. But so they get sweeter after the frost. So if you, you know, go for a walk and pick some and try them, you can try them directly off the rose bushes. I mean, really, just grab one. Don't eat the whole rose hip. They have some irritating little hairs around the seeds that are inside the rose hip. So yeah, the seeds would be not the problem, but there is this hairy, itchy powder around the seeds, which is not very pleasant. So if they are already, if it's after the frost, they turn softer. and sweeter, and you can really just squeeze out the rosehip puree. Yeah, it's almost, yeah, it's the pulp, no? The pulp of the little rosehips, and you can literally just squeeze them out and eat them and try them. Yeah, so they go through different stages. Yeah, when you see the rosehips on a bush, I mean, I would, you know, preferably you use the rosehips of wild roses. Yeah, of the Rosa Rosa Canina. Yeah, this is the wild rose, and not the modern, you know, the modern kind of roses that have these many petals. Yeah, so the classic wild rose has these 5 petals. But these more cultivated roses, they have more petals. So this is how you would recognize them. I mean, there are definitely some of the modern varieties also that make rosehips that are medicinally beneficial. But it's kind of hard to know. I mean, definitely, you know, don't eat rosehips from roses that have been sprayed, or you don't know if they have been treated in some way or with fertilizers or anything. I mean, if you find wild roses, it's, yeah, definitely the safe way to go. But you could still try, you know, if you're not sure. I mean, now you're seeing only the rose hips, you're not actually seeing the plant and the petals, so you might be not sure about it, what kind of rose it is. But then, you know, just try the rose hip, just try it if it's nice and big and red and juicy. I mean, it's definitely not toxic. It's more like a question, has it been treated or sprayed or anything? Where does it grow? You know, is this kind of a clean, natural spot where it grows? Or, you know, does it have medicinal benefits? But these we can taste, you know, we have our own lab with our senses, you know, with our taste buds and our smell and everything. So, you know, just try it. Yeah. And they can taste everything from a bit sour to slightly sweet. So usually after the first frost, they turn sweeter, and before that they're slightly sour. They can be pretty dry, and you know, I live here in a very hot country, so the rosehips are kind of small and dry and hard. So when I went to Scotland a few months ago, they had these big juicy rosehips. I was really jealous. They looked really delicious and tasted delicious. So yeah, you have to experiment a bit. But I mean, honestly, the rosehips that I took this whole month every day, I mean, I took it, actually, now I'm taking it, yeah, at least for 2 months, I think, at least, every day. So I bought them. Yeah, I bought my rosehips by the pound. Then they are already de-seeded, which is a great benefit. Yeah, I mean, you can definitely, you know, just pick rosehips, and I would not, you know, bother de-seeding them. This is a huge amount of work that, yeah, it's really a lot of work to take every tiny little rosehip and then scrape out the itchy powder and the seeds. Yeah, it's a lot of work. I mean, you can still just use them whole and make a tea. I would recommend boiling the rosehips a bit, try to make a stronger tea, boiling them a bit, or yeah, and then you just strain everything out so you don't have a problem with the little hairs and seeds. I mean, you definitely get a stronger tea if you kind of mash them up or crush them, break them up, or at least cut them in half, your fresh or dried whole rosehips that you have collected. Yeah, but then of course you get some of the hairs and seeds into the tea, so you need a more kind of fine mesh strainer to really get the hairs out. But you will get a much stronger tea if you kind of break them up a bit and try to mesh them up a bit. Yeah, so what I did, I just bought the rosehips. And if you buy dried rosehips, so the most common ways you find them is you really get just the dried red part of the rosehip without the seeds and without those annoying hairs, which is fantastic. You can do a lot of things with these type of rosehips that you would buy. Or the other form is actually rosehip powder, and then usually they just powder the whole rosehips, including the seeds, yeah, which also has benefits. Yeah. Yeah, so the seeds are very rich in galactolipids, it's called. And these are highly anti-inflammatory, and they are proven to help with arthritis, yeah, with rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis. So any joint pain, actually, yeah, any joint pain, even if you're not sure why you have this joint pain, it is probably a kind of slightly inflammatory condition in the body. And these galactolipids in the seeds, or mainly in the seeds, but actually in the whole rosehip, they are so anti-inflammatory They have been proven in many, many studies to help with joint pain. The red part of the rose hips contains also, of course, a lot of interesting compounds. It has a lot of vitamin C and flavonoids and quercetin and lycopene and anthocyanidins. So it's full of these plant compounds that we need in our body that are anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, that are very good and healthy for our heart, for example, for our skin, for healthy skin and anti-aging. I mean, these rose hips really pack a lot of good stuff in them, yeah? And if you take only the red dried part to make tea or the whole rose hip powder, then you don't have to make tea, you know, then you can just stir the powder into something and take it that way. So, yeah, it has different advantages depending on in which form you buy these rose hips and how you want to use them. Yeah. So I, in my case, I had these little just the red dried part of the rose hip without the seeds. And you can basically just soak them in water or in hot water or cold water even. And then you and just a little water, so not making tea, but just soaking them and making like this little, yeah, it's kind of a mush, let's say. Yeah. It's almost like a sticky marmalade or something. Yeah. You can add some honey and you can just have this as a base for your breakfast. You mix it with oatmeal or something else. You have like this fruity paste that you can mix into other food or eat on its own or eat on a piece of bread or cracker even, or make a nice dessert with it. I mean, it's really delicious if you sweeten it up a little bit to counterbalance the acidity. So that's what I did. But I also actually made a lot of tea. So some of you might think, okay, am I not destroying the vitamin C if I boil the rose hips? Yeah, sure, probably a tiny bit, but the vitamin C in the rose hips is very well protected by the bioflavonoids. Yeah, so rose hips are so rich in flavonoids that this actually protects the vitamin C. You're not going to lose all of the vitamin C just because, or just when you boil the tea. Yeah, but what I do, I have a little hack. So I powder my rose hips, and not really into a fine powder, but I grind them up a bit in a coffee grinder, and then I soak them in cold water. The next day, I try to strain the liquid out, which is difficult because it's kind of a mush. Yeah, it's really kind of a thick pulp mixed with water, the fruit pulp mixed with water. But I try to strain off a bit of the red, deep red liquid and drink that. So there was no heat and no hot water involved up to this point. Yeah. So I get a bit of the pure, undestroyed enzymes and vitamin C and everything. And then I make a tea. Yeah. So after that, I would just add a bit more water and then bring it to a boil and simmer it for maybe 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, and then strain it and drink my tea. Yeah. And I can even add a second time some water because I use a lot. Yeah. I use at least like maybe 50 grams, 60 grams of of the dried rose hips. So that's a lot. That's like several full tablespoons. So I want to really, you know, take advantage of it and really get everything out of that amount of rose hips. So I just boil it again with a bit more hot water, simmer it again, and have another tea that is a bit less strong, but still, you know, you still get something out of it. And as I said, you can eat the whole soaked rose hips. Yeah, you get this mushy, pulpy, kind of marmalade almost, yeah. If you add some honey, it's like a jam, a rosehip jam almost. You can also soak them in juice, then you have already a bit of the sweetness added. So this is also a good way to do it. But if you want to make tea, I recommend, yeah, you just simmer it, or if you want to make the way I do, you know, I just make the cold infusion first and drink a bit of that liquid, and then I make the hot tea to really get everything out and really take advantage of the rose hips and not, you know, throw out too much of the goodness. Yeah, but as I said, the powder is also a really good alternative, and then you have the advantage of having the seeds included in the powder. I mean, you would have to check the label. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I guess, if it's in powder form, it's most likely that they use the whole rose hips because, why should they go through the process of deseeding them? So then you have the little seeds included, and you have a higher amount of these galactolipids, which are good to lower inflammation, good for joint pain. And you can just put the powder into a smoothie, into your oatmeal, into something, so you can mix it and take it that way. This is another good way. I mean, the rose hips in general, they can, if you take them over a long time on a daily basis, and I think, this is what it's meant, it's not an herb that you take for a week or so, you will not get the full benefits. It's really an herb that you can take ongoingly for many months, and not just a teaspoon. As I said, my dose is starting with 30 grams, I would say, and you can go even a bit higher, which I normally do. So, yeah, if you take it in a good dose and over many weeks, you will get these benefits. Yeah, for joint pain, for the heart, it can lower blood pressure, it lowers cholesterol. Yeah, it's good for the heart in general. It's antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, even analgesic. Yeah, I also have this feeling it is really good to treat menstrual pain, menstrual cramps. And yeah, for the joint pain. So you get these full benefits of all the goodness that is in the rose hips. So if you pick them before the first frost, they might still be a bit orange. So first they are orange in color, and then you could already pick them and take them. They are more sour, but they have probably then the highest vitamin C content. Then they turn a brighter red, and this is also a good time to pick them. And they still have a good, vitamin C, flavonoids, all the anti-inflammatory benefits and all that. They still have a good amount of these nutrients. And then after the first frost, maybe they lose a little bit of the vitamin C, but they still have the flavonoids. They still have the redness, which is the sign for these anthocyanins or anthocyanidins. So yeah, you still have plenty of benefits any stage of the time of harvest. I would say it's worth to get the wild rose hips if you want to collect them. And also, usually they are really plentiful available. Of course, this is also food for wild animals, for birds, for squirrels, for other animals. So yeah, they're widely available. But as I said, yeah, I bought my dried rose hips this year, and buy a pound or two. I mean, this is not an herb that you would buy, 5 ounces, 8 ounces, or 100 gram, 200 gram. This is not going to last long. So really buy like a pound or two, so you have plenty available. And really, I would say, yeah, this is really an herb to take on a daily basis. It is not a fast-acting herb. You won't feel anything, right after taking the tea, necessarily, but you get benefits over time. Yeah, it's also very anti-aging and good for the skin. Yeah, so it improves skin elasticity. Yeah, it helps actually the collagen in the skin. Yeah, so if you think, I mean, the collagen, we have less and less of that as we age. So yeah, it's not necessarily the point that we don't get enough collagen in our diet. No, I mean, collagen is just a few amino acids. It's in our food, kind of. But yeah, what is needed is that we can use this collagen, or it can do its function in the skin, and this is where the rose hips help. Yeah, so they boost the function of the collagen in the skin, so to say. Yeah, so really overall, I was really pleased. I must say, I have sometimes, especially in the cold season, I feel my knees a little bit. So my knees are just a bit sore when I walk a lot in the city on hard asphalt, for example. So I don't have any knee pain at the moment, nothing. Yeah, so the joint pain, and I didn't take it for that. This is more like a surprising effect. Yeah, that I'm like, wow, my knees, I don't have any trouble at the moment with my knees. It's amazing. So definitely I did notice that. And I did also definitely notice the immune boost. And so my whole combination of ginger, garlic, and rosehip, I think it did work. Yeah, because my whole family got really, really sick one after the other, and they had one of these respiratory cold and flus. And I was fine, you know. I mean, in the end, I got it, but really after a long time, and when I didn't kind of watch my energy and my sleep, and I was out and got exposed to wind and cold and wasn't dressed well. So I can exactly trace it back to this moment where I was a bit tired and then out in the wind was on the 1st of January when I was like, oh yeah, I'm not even tired after last year's New Year's last night's New Year's celebration, you know. I kind of was overestimating my energy levels a bit, and then with little sleep and a very cold and windy day, I got cold, but it lasted only 3 days. Yeah, it was basically just one day of runny nose and a few days of cough, and then it was done. So I definitely recovered faster, and I definitely had less cold and flu than everyone else here in my environment, let's say, my family and friends. So I think it did work, and I'm definitely continuing the rose hips. I'm totally in love with the rose hips. I like the taste, the flavor. I mean, you have to maybe get used to it a bit. It's not that it tastes bad, but it is maybe just a bit different. It's not like sweet fruits like we're used to. I mean, it has a bit of a fruity and very aromatic taste, but maybe adding a bit of honey resolves that if you don't like the taste so much. But it's nice. I really like it, and I think I'm just going to continue to take it. Yeah. And of course, there's also the rosehip seed oil. So there is a rose oil that you can buy that is also very good for skin elasticity. And yeah, it's a nice way. It's a very light oil. It soaks in really nicely. It's not very greasy or anything. It is also very high in antioxidants. And so you can also use these externally on the skin. And yeah, this is a nice way, to benefit from all these amazing, amazing advantages that rose hips offer us. I mean, I just love it. You know, it's a wild food. It's something that is in many areas widely available outside. And although I didn't pick the rose hips I was taking every day because I didn't want to de-seed them or make my own powder and dehydrate and grind and all that, so I didn't want to have all the work with the processing of the rose hips. But still, you know, if I go on a walk and I find some, I just eat them straight from the bush, and it's a nice way to connect and to say thank you and, you know, appreciate these amazing roses that, yeah, give us beautiful flowers. And then these nice bright red fruits that are so packed full of goodness and have so many benefits, can have so many benefits on our bodies. Okay, so if you would like to have a health consultation with me to get some personalized tips and recommendations to improve your health, then you can schedule a short free call with me. I post the link here directly into the description of this episode. Please don't hesitate. Book the free call. We can talk to each other. We can find out how I can help you. Or, of course, if you want to check in via email first, you can also send me email directly to tamara@herbalhelp.net. Yeah, so this is my website, herbalhelp.net. You can see more details about the health consultations. And yeah, reach out to me. I also have classes upcoming. So we have our next class on the 19th of January and then on the 16th of February. So the next topic in January is herbs to brighten the mood. Yeah, herbs for mild winter depression and seasonal affective disorder. And then the class in February will be about medicinal mushrooms. And yeah, so sign up for the classes if you want to. The classes are live over Zoom, so we can actually talk to each other. I always love to chat with you at the end of the class presentation, and then I answer your questions and we discuss together. So that's really the best moment of these live classes. And of course, if you can't come to the live class, you will get the recording and you can watch the class. So it's at the moment one class a month, and you can sign up through the link I post here in the description. It's the ko-fi.com/ Tamara Herbalist link that you will find here in the description. And it's called a membership, but you know, no worries, you can cancel anytime. It's just like a monthly fee for one class a month. It's very simple, it's very low cost. It's just a way for me also to support the creation here of this podcast by offering these classes, and also because you have asked me for that and you want to come and study with me and learn more. So that's of course super exciting, and I love teaching. I also offer student mentorships. So if you're already a bit into your herbal studies, or you have done a course, or you're starting to practice, or at any stage actually of your own journey of becoming an herbalist, or just getting into the topic and studying herbalism more deeply, you can also contact me about the mentorship sessions. I really love that. I really love talking to other herbalists, and you know, we can discuss cases together. Yeah, if you are a bit insecure in the beginning, which is totally normal. I mean, you have all the information, all the books, all the ideas, but you know, then you have the first person, maybe a family member or a friend, and you want to help them, and you want to find out the best herb for them to take and make good recommendations that really improve their health and where they actually really get improvement and benefits. So yeah, this can be, it's exciting. It's a great challenge in the beginning. So we can sit together, you know, you can present me your case, and we discuss it together, and we figure out the best herbal protocol. Yeah, this is a great way to learn. And of course, it's also required to do some mentoring and an internship with an herbalist, and discuss and do cases together. So this is a good way. This is something I love offering, because yeah, it's just really, it's something I really enjoy doing, teaching and mentoring students. So yeah, get in touch about that also via email or through my website. There's a contact form on the website. So if you go to herbalhelp.net, you will find the contact information. You can send me a message about that. Okay, then see you next time, and yeah, best wishes. Talk to you soon. Bye bye.